Les colloques du Collège de France.
Good morning, everyone.
First, I'd like to thank Edith and Claire for the nice invitation. And I was quite impressed by Montserrat talk, so I found it was really a great data. And today, I will tell you about modulation of X chromosome inactivity and phenotypic consequences. So it becomes more and more evident that many diseases show different incidence, progression, manifestation in males and females. And we've just heard about autoimmune diseases that are more prevalent in females. But actually, this sex-biased disease may concern any organs, any cell types. For instance, males have a higher risk of death from non-reproductive cancers and an earlier onset than females. And affection of the neural system, like neurodegenerative diseases, like Alzheimer's, is more severe in females, while neurodevelopmental diseases, like autism, ADHD, are more frequent in males. So what can cause these differences? So obviously, sex hormones are involved, but some of these diseases arise before puberty or after menopause at times of life where sex hormones are low. So another hypothesis is that some of these sex bias may originate from natural sex dimorphism that are rooted in genetic differences. So, of course, the sex chromosome content in this regard can be involved, and in particular the X chromosome, which carries many genes that have been associated with affection of the neural system, of the immune system, among others. And so in the lab, we ask whether and how the inactivation of one of the two X chromosomes may contribute to sex dimorphism and participate in female resistance or predisposition to certain diseases. So I'll go quickly on that. X inactivation results from the accumulation of XIST RNP complexes on one of the two X chromosomes. This will trigger the formation of a repressive compartment in the nucleus, that is the barbody. And we've seen also that yesterday that this random X inactivation takes place around the time of implantation, and this is true in both humans and mice in the cells of the epiblast. And then the inactive state is transmitted during mitosis. But what is less clear is whether this inactive state is regulated after establishment, and notably during the cell division, cell migration, when cells are subject to intercellular signaling that occurs during development, later during adult life, and even later upon aging. Now, allelic studies of X-linked gene expression have shown that some genes escape from X inactivation in a cell type specific manner, and this suggests that there may be a local regulation of the inactive state. And the number of these genes gradually increases during life and escalates upon aging, which may suggest that at this later time in life there is an erosion of silencing. Now, all this suggests that there may be a level of plasticity of the inactive state and the existence of different circuitries of X inactivation maintenance that may depend on cell function and cell lineages. So we've just heard that the immune system is particular in the matter. Many genes escape in different immune cells. There is a dynamic regulation of XIST and of the inactive state, notably in lymphocytes. And this is associated with different forms of XIST RNP complexes that include different cofactors in myeloid cells, B cells, or compared to embryonic cells. And in addition, in the mice, the conditional knockout of XIST in the precursors of the hematopoietic lineage results in aggressive blood cancer, while the same deletion is relatively well tolerated in other lineage. Now, to test whether milder perturbation of X inactivation that are more in the range of what may occur in vivo impact immune cells. We took advantage of a deletion of FTX, which is a positive regulator of GSYST. And as you can see here, this deletion results in a reduction by half of the GSYST RNA level. So this is different from the complete GSYST knockout. And this is observed in monocyte macrophages, dendritic cells, B cells, T cells, in 3-month-old females and in 1-year-old females. And this is associated with a drastic delocalization of the GSYST RNA molecules away from the inactive X. Now, we studied the effect on a subset of X-linked genes that included genes that are known to escape from X inactivation in immune cells and that are shown here in orange, and genes that are subject to X inactivation in immune cells. And on this graph here, each dot represents a gene. Values above zero are in levels higher in the knockout compared to the wild type. Value below zero RNA levels higher in the wild type compared to the knockout. So you can see that at 3 months of age, there is almost no deviation from zero, whatever the cell type. But in 1-year-old females, many genes start to be overexpressed in the knockout. And this is especially marked in monocyte macrophages and dendritic cells. And in B and T cells, two genes are overexpressed, so it is TLR7 and your lovely CXCR3 in T cells. And these genes are known to escape from X inactivation in this cell type. Now, using RNA fish, we could show that this overexpression is associated with an enhanced escape from X inactivation, as illustrated here with TLR7 that show a higher percentage of B allelic transcription in the knockout compared to the wild type. And this is also the case for TASL, which is another member of the TLR7 pathway. Now, we started our phenotypic analysis by looking at the spleen. So at 3 months, in 3 months old females, we didn't see any difference in the spleen weight between knockout and wild type. But in 1 year old animals, we observed a doubling of the spleen weight that was specifically observed in the knockout female and not in the wild type female or in the knockout males. And even more dramatically, and you can see it here, some knockout spleen could reach up to 2 grams in 2 years old animals. But note that while this phenotype is completely penetrant at 1 year of age, it is very variable in 2 years old animals, which may suggest that there are some compensatory effects at play. We didn't detect any changes in the organization of the cells in the spleen or any signs of infiltration in the knockout animals. Now, flow cytometry analysis revealed deregulation that are typical of autoimmune manifestation, namely a higher percentage of activated B and T cells in the knockout females, which was associated with a mild increase in the level of immunoglobulin in the serum. And even more specifically, there was an increase in the level of autoantibody associated specific of the RNP or against the acid nucleic. And this was accompanied by a higher frequency of age-associated B cells that can produce these autoantibodies. And these are signs that are typical of lupus-like syndromes. Now, TLR7 overdosage is known to trigger systemic autoimmunity, so we wanted to know whether a hyperactive TLR7 pathway could also be involved in the phenotype that we see. And to test this, we looked at the kinetics of TLR signaling in bone marrow-derived macrophages that we treated with TLR agonist, either TLR4, specific of either TLR4, TLR9, or TLR7. And we could see a higher and sustained activation of TLR7 target cytokines in the case of TLR7 stimulation specifically and only in the knockout macrophages. Now, all these observations suggest a scenario in which, under normal condition, a low level of escape from Xin activation induce a slight increase of the corresponding immune factors in females compared to males, and this may grant females with a stronger immune response. However, when this escape is not properly controlled, the higher level of the corresponding immune factors trigger signs of autoimmunity and a lupus-like phenotype. So I'd like to say that this corroborates some of the data from Montserrat lab, so that's very nice. And now I'd like to show you some very preliminary data that I find exciting. And so what I've just shown you in immune cells suggests that perturbation of Xin activation may also impact other organs, and notably organs in which there are active cell differentiation. And to test this, to address this question, we turn to human and to brain development. And why? Because the human X chromosome is enriched in genes that have been associated with intellectual disabilities compared to the other chromosome. And these loci overlap with known escapers in the neural compartment. In addition, there are known differences in the kinetics of brain development in males compared to females. And some areas of the brain are more developed in females compared to another area in the males. Now, to address the effect of perturbing Xin activation during human brain development, and this is actually the work of Carla Piqueras in the lab, Carla used brain organoids that are differentiated from human embryonic stem cells and that mimic the formation and the intricate organization of the brain cell type. Now, she focused on a developmental window that corresponds to stages of neurogenesis, neuron migration, neuron differentiation in between 8 and 12 weeks of development. And this is actually the developmental window in which the first molecular defects that are associated with neurodevelopmental disorders are thought to occur. And she compared Xist positive organoids, either wild type or carrying a deletion of Xist on the active X, with Xist negative organoids, either homozygote for the Xist deletion or carrying the deletion on the inactive X. And what she could observe is that in virtually all the Xist negative organoids, there were patches of cells, pigmented cells on the surface of the organoid. And these patches were both more abundant per organoid and larger than the few patches that she could see in Xist positive organoids. And then she performed RNA, single-cell RNA-seq on these organoids. And I think you can readily see that some clusters show more cells in the Xist-negative organoids compared to the Xist-positive organoids, while other cell clusters are almost completely absent in the Xist-negative organoids compared to the Xist-positive organoids. So we are now trying to annotate these clusters and characterize this phenotype into more details. I'm going to stop here and acknowledge the people who did the work. So the immune work was mostly done by Christophe Furet in the lab, in collaboration with Michel Godard's lab, and with a massive help from Jean-Charles Guéry's lab and the autoimmune expert, Léa Ferrayer, Magali Savignac. The part on the neural compartment was the work of Carla Piqueras with the help of Clara Dubourg. I'd like to thank Claire and all the members of Claire's lab for their constant insights and suggestions, and you for your attention. I'd also like to say that we are recruiting a postdoc and an engineer, so if you know anyone, spread the word. Thank you.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.